Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at inspireddisorder.com/plus.
This is The Ray Taylor Show.
Swipe Up, episode 237, the podcast where I share my unfiltered thoughts on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'm your host, Ray Taylor, and every Thursday I'll bring you a fresh perspective on a variety of topics. In this episode, I am talking about the three stories I'm talking about. The first story being the anti-business, big government, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sued by Disney claiming government retaliation. The second story is an update on, or there are updates, I should say, on Black Mirror Season 6, which is coming in June. And the third story is New York prioritizes violating human rights over education as it cuts library budgets and at the same time raises police budgets. Let's get into it, shall we? Starting off with the first story, Disney sues Florida Governor Ron DeSantis claiming government retaliation. The Walt Disney Company has sued Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and other officials. Disney accuses DeSantis of orchestrating a campaign of government retaliation against the company. Disney claims that DeSantis violates its protected speech. The feud began more than a year ago when Disney's former CEO said that he'd work to overturn a law banning discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in school, also known as the Don't Say Gay Act. The law is called the Parental Rights in Education Act, but we all know it's the Don't Say Gay Act. Republican lawmakers passed a bill that stripped Disney of its self-governing authority, which never should have happened anyway. Disney never should have had to begin with. But that was done at DeSantis's urging to strip them of that. Before the law took effect, Disney signed a deal with its outgoing board, allowing it to retain development rights on the 40-square-mile district. DeSantis' handpicked board voted to invalidate that agreement. Moments later, Disney filed a 77-page lawsuit in federal court. Disney charged DeSantis and other officials with violations of the contracts clause, the takings clause, due process, and its First Amendment rights to protected speech. The company is asking a federal judge to declare the board's actions, quote, unlawful and unenforceable, end quote. The new district board heard from independent businesses or business owners who have restaurants and retail shops at Disney properties. Several of those business owners said that they were concerned new regulations and taxes could raise their costs and make their business unprofitable. Their raise in costs and taxes is because DeSantis decided to change to make it so Disney wasn't self-governed, where Disney was paying all of those taxes. But now that DeSantis decided to remove that, now all of those businesses are going to have to, like, taxes are going to go up in those areas because of what DeSantis decided to do, trying to hurt Disney, who they think, it's insane that they think Disney is this super woke company where it's like they barely have side characters even mildly reference same-sex anything, which is not a very woke take to be, considering there have been movies about the LGBTQ lifestyle and characters and things of that nature for almost as long as films have been around, and Disney is only now in 2023 even mildly becoming accepting of things that aren't just your standard straight reality. So I think it's kind of funny how they think Disney is some kind of this ultra woke progressive company. But either way, they're shooting themselves in the foot. Business owners not very happy. The board chairman, Martin Garcia, told business owners their taxes would be going up in part to pay for legal fees related to DeSantis's dispute with Disney. So not only is it just standard because now they're going to have to, now that Disney's not subsidizing their taxes, they're also going up because DeSantis wants to sue is in this ridiculous fight with Disney. It's absolutely ridiculous. In response to the lawsuit, DeSantis communications director said this lawsuit is yet another unfortunate example of their hope to undermine the will of the Florida voters and operate outside the bounds of the law, which is a very not true thing to say. Bills to ban teaching about sexual orientation and gender identity on 7th and 8th grader banned gender studies classes and diversity programs in state-funded universities and require teachers to use pronouns of students for the gender in which they were born and ban the use of preferred pronouns are being considered. Republicans' supermajority in both House and Senate means that they will likely be able to pass almost any legislation on the right side of the aisle. DeSantis is expected to sign bills during this two-month legislative session, including ending requirements for needing a permit to carry a firearm, making it easier to impose the death penalty on criminals, and mandating companies to use E-Verify to confirm a worker's legal status in the U.S. before hiring. The session could also see an increase in spending for a program transporting illegal migrants out of Florida to Democratic enclaves, states, and sanctuary cities, basically raising taxes for human trafficking. It's insane. These people are insane. These people are insane. The laws are vague on purpose, allowing children to be kidnapped in their state. Seriously, these vague, the definition, the redefining of what child abuse is, while also making it punishable by death, and only requiring 8 of 10 jurors for a death penalty verdict to be placed on somebody, right? So the definition of what child abuse is very vague, right? Which includes if you have a child who is trans, then you acknowledging that in any way is in Florida considered child abuse. And because of that, if you were to do anything to help your child live the life they want to live, you can not only be charged and sentenced to the death penalty, but now it doesn't take a majority. It doesn't take a unanimous vote from the jurors. They only need 8 out of 10. This is like they're setting up to make it legal to execute a minority of people in this country. And, you know, so easy to compare what's happening in states like Florida to Nazi Germany. But this is just because they're able to change laws to allow people to more easily be executed. They're still executing people that they are targeting. They're redefining things in order, and they're labeling it, right? Of course, who would vote against somebody who is abusing children, right? Who would vote against those things? Nobody would. Nobody in their right mind would vote against something like that. But then when you realize what these definitions are, the reason why these bills are so vague is because they're not really trying to protect people. They're not like trying to protect kids from being abused, right? Like we're not necessarily, it's not about like catching these priests that are raping children, right? This bill is targeted specifically vague enough, worded vague in a specific way that it targets families. Allowing the government to kidnap children from families, allowing those families to then face the death penalty, and for the standards at which somebody is decided to be guilty and punishable by the death penalty, those standards are lowered. And there's delusional people in the world like Joe Rogan who think DeSantis is the most reasonable choice for president. One of the most fascist states in the country, one of the most fascist governors in the country. And there are people so deluded enough to think that that guy is reasonable is absolutely insane. So just all of these things just making it easier for Florida to literally kill people that oppose their fascist dictators. Florida is insane, people. And they're not the only state. Texas is like right there with them. So many states are right there with Florida doing all of the same things, pretending like they care about kids, pretending like, and somehow convincing so many people that they care about kids when they don't care about kids. They at no point care about kids. All they care about is targeting and labeling a group of small, a very small group of the population, labeling them as the target, labeling them as evil, and passing tons of bills that will do nothing to help the majority of citizens in this country, will do nothing to help protect children. It's insane. Let's take a quick break from this episode because I want to talk about, are you looking for the perfect gift for that art lover in your life? Look no further than inspiredisorder.com. Our gift cards can be used to purchase original artwork from The Many Faces, a collection of over 2,000 original abstract ink portraits. These one-of-a-kind pieces make for a truly unique and meaningful gift. But that's not all. Our gift cards can also be used to purchase high-quality prints and t-shirts featuring these amazing paintings. Plus, if the recipient is a fan of The Ray Taylor Show, they can use the gift card to purchase merchandise from the show as well. So why wait? Head on over to inspireddisorder.com and purchase a gift card today. Your loved one will be sure to appreciate the thought and creativity behind such a unique gift. Thank you for considering inspireddisorder.com for all of your gift needs. And now, back to the show. Let's move on to the next story. Black Mirror Season 6 is coming, and it's reinventing itself. Black Mirror Season 6 is set to premiere in June. I have been waiting for this. The creator, Charlie Brooker, promises the most unpredictable season yet. A show that hasn't been very predictable, I would say, aside from the fact that it's usually near future technology stuff. I would say not very predictable, but the statement of the most unpredictable is crazy. Brooker wanted to upend his own assumptions about the show to keep it fresh for himself and viewers. I love that. Take some swings. Maybe there'll be alternate like history moments, right? Or maybe alternate moments in history involving tech, maybe like For All Mankind. If I had to guess, maybe that could be something, because usually they're near future type of sci-fi type of episodes. Maybe will be like, it'll be like, what if we had this technology in the Old West, right? Maybe kind of blending those things, period pieces with tech, maybe. Right? The show will still have the Black Mirror tone, but with new elements and crazy swings. I love to hear it. I love crazy swings. I mean, the show arguably started with a crazy swing, with the first episode being the episode about the politician being forced to engage in bestiality with a pig. Like, you can't, like, how do you swing bigger than that when that's your first episode? The season will feature a long list of talented actors and directors: Aaron Paul, Kate Mara, Salma Hayek, Penault are among the stars joining the cast. The show will continue to be an anthology series with distinct stories in each episode, although they did have the episode that kind of tied them all together into the same universe, episode 6, Black Museum from season 4, which was an okay episode and interesting, trying to tie all of these stories together in a way. But Brooker wants to keep surprising viewers and himself. The show will stretch the parameters of what a Black Mirror episode is. Ooh. They do experiment, I would say, with genres. Considering they had, like, you know, a straight-up horror. I mean, they're all kind of similarly, but in some kind of, like, maybe he'll experiment with more genres, right? Maybe there'll be more comedy. Maybe there'll be different types. I don't know. Who knows? And maybe it'll be less of a focus on tech, even though I would say that is one of the core aspects of, maybe it won't all be bad stories. Who knows? Maybe it'll be more of a focus like Twilight Zone instead of technology. Who knows? But the stories will have more variety than before. The show comes from Brooker and Jones production company, Brook and Bones. The season will have executive producers Jessica Rhodes, Annabelle Jones, and Bisha K. Ali. Brooker hopes viewers enjoy the season, especially the parts they shouldn't. This show is known for its very dark and satirical takes on technology and society. So maybe it'll be, it'll get super dark. Maybe it'll be like that scene in Terrifier 2. Maybe. Or maybe there'll be like more anti-hero type of things, right? Maybe there'll be characters that we struggle with liking. Who knows? And maybe there'll be an episode that explores the future of America, like if as we slip into fascism. Maybe it'll be more politically minded and tackling those things. That will be interesting, right? It could easily be more political, right, in its criticism in general, especially as like wealth inequality and billionaires playing around in space. There's tons of things they could do with that. Season 6 promises to continue that tradition with some new elements and surprises. One, if not my favorite, and it's like one of the best anthology series by far. You know, I love Twilight Zone as well, but I think the combination of that kind of Twilight Zone style and technology, the sci-fi-ness of it, I really like. And so inventive. So many unique and interesting stories within this kind of universe. And I ranked my top five episodes from season 1 and 2 as a single top five list, and then separate episodes for season 4, season 5, in separate top five episodes. So when this new season comes out, I will definitely have to do a top five for, I may combine season 5 and season 6, since there were only like 4 episodes in season 5. Maybe I'll combine that with season 6. We'll see, but I'll definitely do a ranking. Because I do love this show and any excuse to like watch them and rank them. So if you want to see what my thoughts are on previous Black Mirror episodes, you can do that with my top five podcast. But it's absolutely amazing how great these stories are, and mostly written by one guy, written by Brooker, which is insane. It is insane. So good. And it's like I don't think the quality. Some people I think have criticized the show over the years, saying maybe they lost a little bit of it. I don't think so. I think, you know, not everything works, but I think it still is at an amazing level. Let's take a quick break from this episode to talk about, are you a fan of art, movies, and all things entertainment? Then you need to check out youtube.com/inspireddisorder. Our page is jam-packed with all kinds of great content, including making of videos of the many faces, an ongoing art series of abstract ink paintings. But that's not all. We also feature daily episodes from The Ray Taylor Show, a podcast that brings you movie reviews, TV show reviews, episode recaps, opinions on news and entertainment, and much more. There's also a weekly diary and top five movie rankings of a variety of categories. And if that wasn't enough, we've also got how-to videos covering all kinds of topics. So why wait? Head on over to youtube.com/inspireddisorder and start exploring the amazing content we have to offer. And now, back to the show. Let's move on to our very last story, the third story. New York City budget would close libraries on the weekend while police budgets get huge bonuses. The New York City public libraries may be forced to close on weekends due to proposed budget cuts. The proposed 2024 fiscal budget cuts to New York City public libraries is now up to $52.7 million from the previous $36.2 million. So almost double, getting there. Library system representatives of the five boroughs, including New York Public Library, Brooklyn Public Library, and Queens Public Library, issued a joint announcement that more funding cuts could obliterate weekend hours across the largest city in the country. The cuts come as the city finalizes a new 8-year contract with the New York City Police Department, the NYPD, which would give police officers billions in salary increases and overtime pay. The new police contract will cost $5.5 billion. $5.5 billion. And the budgets of being cut from the library's $52.7 million. Insane. So new police contract, 5.5, and top pay for officers after 5.5 years of service will be $131,500 per year, a $40,000 increase. Like, there's people living on less than $40,000 a year, and now we're paying people that violate human rights on a regular basis, people that cover up their crimes, people that murder people, steal from people, harass people, just like they do the most evil things to humanity, they're getting a pay bump. Right? This is amazing pay for domestic terrorists. Right? If you have a dream to be a domestic terrorist in the United States, going to work for the NYPD, you get amazing pay, amazing benefits, and they will allow you to get away with murder. Right? Violating human rights and murdering people for six figures. You get a six-figure salary. And that's before you even start gaming the overtime like they do. The PBA president called the pandemic, quote-unquote, rising crime and a, quote-unquote, deluge of criticism as justification for the increased wage. So because they've been criticized, they think they should be paid more. Because they're not doing their job, right, this idea that they can somehow prevent crime or stop crime, because they aren't doing their job and because they were criticized, they want a pay grade, pay raise. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that it's happening is mind-blowing. It had a story last week about how the cops in Portland use like thousands of times more gas than is safe for human beings to survive, right? Police using chemical weapons that aren't allowed in warfare being used against citizens, right? And now these police departments are getting raises. They're making six figures to violate human rights, to put people's lives at risk. And meanwhile, police don't prevent crime. They don't stop crime. They rarely solve crimes. This new police contract is part of an effort to hire and retain more police officers after almost 4,000 cops resigned or retired last year. In January, the city reported that the NYPD spending for the current fiscal year was already on track to cost the city an additional $366 million, double what the budget allotted for overtime payouts. Police scamming the system to rob taxpayers. Because they scam the government, they scam taxpayers out of $366 million, and they're cutting, to keep funding these people, they're cutting a fraction of that, a tenth of that, of what they're scamming for overtime from public libraries, from a place where people go to educate themselves, to better themselves. A safe place that kids can go study, where adults can go better their lives, where kids can go better their lives, have access to books and tools and information that they wouldn't have necessarily, especially if they're in a poor household, public libraries. But instead of keeping that resource open for people to better their lives, they would rather spend 10 times as much on people who are known to maim, murder, and harass citizens constantly. Mayor Eric Adams' office blames the library cuts on asylum seekers and decreased tax revenue. This is like, it's so stupid. It is so stupid. The mayor spokesperson said that Adams is working with libraries to help them meet users' needs. it's so stupid, man. Adams has received plenty of backlash since he first announced the preliminary 2024 fiscal budgets last year. All three library systems say it's important to note that these cuts aren't yet final. Library workers and patrons worry about how people who rely on libraries as community spaces and their services might cope if services aren't available on weekends. Like, people work. People go to school. Having libraries open on the time when people are most available to go do things, if you want to better your life and you want to get a better job and make more money, then you would spend your free time, aka the weekend, going to places where you have access to things you may not have, like the library. But they don't want you to better your life. They don't care. They don't care about people. Police don't help people. Libraries help people. Police don't help people. Police do the exact opposite of help. They violate human rights. Which, keeping people uneducated seems like an amazing... Keeping people uneducated and keeping people from bettering their lives really sounds like a great way to increase crime. Because that's not... Police don't decrease crime. Police help to increase prison populations. Police create, like, resentment and abuse of the citizens. NYC Public Library said their joint statement that they could continue to strongly advocate against these cuts to avoid implementing any of these drastic steps. Adams announced he would postpone some of the most recent proposed cuts, but this would not affect the already $36.2 million in cuts that had already been proposed to the library system in the 2024 budget. To all propaganda sheep who act like the police were defunded, here is yet another example of their budgets going up. Billions of dollars, billions of dollars to harass, maim, and murder citizens. Increasing the budgets to violate human rights and fill prisons. Decreasing budgets for the services to allow people to educate and improve their lives. We are nothing but livestock in this country. Our lives are meaningless. We only exist to make a few people wealthy. It's absolutely disgusting. My sources for this episode, NPR.org, Netflix.com, and Vice.com. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Swipe Up, where it's happy, happy, joy time. At least I got some entertainment in there, right? I got some Black Mirror talk in there. But I hope you enjoyed my thoughts and insights on the latest news and entertainment updates. Please join the conversation, or don't, by leaving a comment or rating on your favorite podcast platform or over on youtube.com/inspireddisorder. And don't be surprised if I just mute your... I probably just won't see it. If I've already muted you, or if I mute you in the future. Either way, I'll see you next Thursday for more unfiltered thoughts and unique perspectives. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on YouTube and everywhere our podcasts are found. Binge the full week over at inspireddisorder.com/plus. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace. Ouch!
Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.